Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. As a part of the Philbrook Museum's New Now initiative to showcase the currents within art today, the latest exhibit at the Philbrook Downtown presents the first museum exhibition by the Fellows of the Tulsa Artists Fellowship. Over 20 of the Tulsa Artists Fellows are participating in this wide-ranging exhibition of really eclectic, interesting work in a diverse set of media and styles, from traditional painting and sculpture to fiber art, installations, video, and conceptual art. The exhibition gives viewers a sense of the art being created in the city now by this group of artists, some of whom are local and regional, others from around the country. I should mention the exhibit is not without some controversy, as two of the artists, Akiko Jackson and Antonius Bowie, submitted works that are openly critical of the leadership of the Tulsa Artists Fellowship. Jackson's work includes criticism as a part of a larger installation. Bowie's piece is simply a series of printed email exchange between the artist and the leadership of the George Kaiser Family Foundation, which established the Tulsa Artists Fellowship. The exhibit is on display through March 4th, and during the run of the show, there'll be free admission, courtesy of GKFF, which, of course, supported the exhibition and established the fellowship. I'm joined by Scott Stulen, the director of Philbrook Museum, along with Julia White, the program manager for Tulsa Artists Fellowship. I spoke with them last week about the exhibit currently on display at Philbrook Downtown. Scott and Julia, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So I'll pose this to one of you. How did this collaboration come about between the Tulsa Artists Fellowship and Philbrook?
I'll take that. So Scott has recently joined the Tulsa arts community about a year and a half ago as the director of Philbrook Museum. And he joined the museum about a year into the program, the Tulsa Artists Fellowship, and it was just a natural fit between Scott being an artist himself and then also having the opportunity to work closely with the Tulsa Artists Fellows. Studio visits that have led into exhibitions, that have led into other programming between his institution and ours.
And so you've been doing studio visits and the like?
I have. I mean, it's, you know, kind of even backing up a little bit is like when I initially was even looking at coming to Tulsa, the fellowship program was a big part of that process. And it was one of those things of really seeing how the arts community here was going in a really unique direction. And we'll probably get to this, but this program is unlike any in the country. And to have that here and then how quickly it has grown, it's been really special. And I think for Philbrook, to be able to leverage that, of having 40-plus artists, writers here in our community from all over the country, and then people that really want to do different projects and are actively participating with other entities, and Philbrook being one of those. So we're just happy to have this exhibition be able to be kind of a big showcase of that.
Now, Julia, we've seen Tulsa Artists Fellowship members participating in a wide range of shows, at Living Arts, at Tulsa Artists Coalition, and various other places around town. But this is one of the few times when you see sort of the breadth of the fellowship in an exhibition like this one going on now.
Absolutely. Last year, we had the opportunity to work with 108 Contemporary in the Tulsa Arts District, which showcased the group as a whole. And that was the smaller group. We were showcasing our 12 visual artists. The program grew, as Scott mentioned, very fast at... We started with 12 visual artists, and in our second year, which we're showcasing currently at the downtown Philbrook location, we grew from 12 to a total of 34 in just 1 year.
Is that sort of full capacity at this particular point, or do you anticipate it even growing larger?
We do. We currently have 42 fellows in the program. We have about 30 visual, and the remainder are literary artists. Our capacity each year, we're able to host up to 15 in both cohorts, literary and visual.
So how did this particular exhibition come about, Scott?
Well, the simple way is Julia called up and say, hey, what do you think about hosting the fellow show? And it worked out well because we were actually looking at our downtown space of doing some changes there and looking at a rotation with all of the permanent collection of contemporary art on the first floor. So the timing was perfect. It kind of, we just bumped that up a little bit, and it was a really ideal space for the artists to do a museum show, and that we could do something where it kind of refreshed downtown. So it just aligned, and aligned really well. So we were pleased with that.
Now, I don't know where I heard this, but are you moving the contemporary to the Villa Philbrook?
We are. So several of the pieces are going to be moved into a rehang of the collection over at our main campus. We're doing more thematic hang with it, so we want to actually have some of that contemporary work in conversation with some of the more, the older work that's in the collection there. And then some of it actually just needs to rest. So we have some works on paper, some photographs that need a little time in the dark. So this will allow that too. So we're going to have, over the course of next year, three different exhibitions that will be rotating through the downtown space. This is the first.
Yeah. So once you decide to collaborate, is this a one-time collaboration, or do you anticipate Philbrook being sort of a place where the group as a whole can show off their work once a year or once every other year or something like that?
Well, we're kind of working on that. I think we're going to see how this goes. It's been very, very positive. But our hope is that, yes, this is just the start of many different collaborations. And I think that can look a lot of different ways. So that can look like an exhibition like this. It can be hosting programming. It could be other joint projects. But, you know, we definitely hope this is just the beginning.
So how about this exhibition, New Now, works by the Tulsa Artist Fellowship? Did you bring in a curator to curate the work?
We did. We were fortunate enough to work with a curator who had just recently relocated to Tulsa, Oklahoma. His name is Colin Nesbitt, and he was spot on. We were very lucky to come across Colin. He's worked in academia and has had the opportunity to work alongside many artists, similar to what our fellowship is doing. We knew that we wanted to have a curator that was able to handle a complex group of artists that has a diverse platform, and also to be able to work with 24 artists in a space that isn't meant for so many artists. So it was great. We worked very closely with Colin. He conducted multiple studio visits, really got to know the artists and their work. And so being able to walk in the downtown location and see the work come together is magical.
Well, your fellowship artists range from traditional painters, sculptor and found objects, using recycled materials, fiber, just about every genre around, I think.
Yes, it was very complicated because there was no set theme. It was an opportunity to showcase the Tulsa Artist Fellowship. In our second year, we wanted to have this exhibition really highlight the artists, individual artists. And so by working with Colin, who has experience in working with sound and fiber and painting, it was really interesting to have the works come together.
Now, I assume with no thematic material, what we're seeing is what the artist is working on now, sort of the themes and the work they're looking at now?
You're seeing a sample of it. And I think to Colin's credit, and I also want to give credit to kind of our Philbrook team kind of working in concert with him. It's always a challenge when you have a group show, the only unifying thread is everybody's in the program. is to be able to kind of showcase what people are doing, but also make the show feel coherent. And I think it does that, and I hope people feel that when they see it. But you're seeing that wide range. So you're seeing from some like really fresh work that was just completed and basically put on the wall to some things that happened over the course of the past year. But the idea is really showing work that people have been doing here in Tulsa in the fellowship program and where they're at.
Now, I have to ask about one thing. When I went through the gallery, I saw a work by Antonius Bui, who some of his work has been incredible paper sculpture in other venues. In this show, what he selected to be curated was a series of emails that was kind of critical of the Tulsa Artist Fellowship. And there was another artist that was so far from utopia that as you read down this black-on-black scroll that goes down the side of the wall, there's also sort of a little bit of criticism about the fellowship. What was the sense of putting that up or not putting that up, and a little bit about the criticisms? Is the fellowship having growing pains?
I think any new program that starts large and hits the ground running will have growing pains. We don't censor artwork. The Tulsa Artist Fellowship, we support artists through time, space, and a financial gift. We allowed this to be a platform for the artists to utilize the Philbrook space to have their voice be heard. Not at all would we ever censor their work or put them in a position where the work wouldn't be presented. And we welcome the artists to express their artwork.
In the case one, it's a series of emails, so it's really not indicative of their artwork, though. It's really more of a political statement.
Perhaps. Their expression and their use of the space was at their discretion. And so by using the email correspondence, it's, you know, they're their art. And so we accept that and we welcome that. And we are proud to be able to host a diverse group of artists from across the country that use our platform as well as the Philbrooks Institution to host.
Well, there is some fantastic work in this show. One that really caught my eye was Jay Yoshimoto, his Ephemeral Propinquity, which is a beautiful, it looks like it's a laser cut wood piece. And it's almost like a contemporary look at what you would consider maybe an altarpiece from the Renaissance, but it's using...
Yeah, it's beautiful. Our opening was on Friday evening, and a patron came up to Jave and I. We happened to be in conversation, and she was like, I just can't stop crying at the beautiful piece. And Jave has spent some time overseas working with refugees entering Greece, and so he is a traditional painter. And since being in Tulsa, like we saw last year with Chris Ramsey, who was in the program, they fell in love with the Fab Lab of Tulsa. And so the Fab Lab has allowed Jave to open up his work and expand into a platform that he wouldn't necessarily be inclined to work directly.
So was this, I guess this was initially a drawing, which then they put through these, what, 3D printers and sort of created a what looks like this woodcut in many ways.
Yep, it's exactly what it is. The process is complicated, and Jave, I know that Jave has spent hours and hours and hours at Fab Lab.
We're simplifying it greatly, I'm sure.
Yeah. But no, that was just one example. Another fantastic example that the Tulsa Artist Fellowship has built in terms of community engagement and building up relationships with Fab Lab and institutions where the artists, both literary and writer, can utilize spaces that the community already has in place. And Jave has completely taken advantage of working with the Fab Lab and creating some beautiful pieces and seeing a shift in his work go from works on paper into works in wood.
It's just such a striking image. It's obviously a refugee mother wearing a hijab and holding a people instead of a baby in her arms with this huge setting sun. And it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous piece.
It's a stunning piece. And it's kind of when you first come through one of the entrances there, it kind of greets you. And I think it's a great way to enter the show.
There's another very striking piece, a depiction of a Shawnee war chief, I believe. It's by Adam Carnes. Tell me a little bit about this piece. This is just a gorgeously painted piece.
Well, I think what's been interesting is watching how some of the fellows have kind of developed over the time they're here. I mean, Adam's a good example of that, coming in, doing one particular body of work, and now has kind of shifted into some other kind of portrait painting. But he's obviously a gifted painter. And I think, again, it's been really fun watching some of the artists kind of develop, both in the content of the work, but also in their execution of it. And so I think, you know, Adam really focuses on portraiture and often at scale.
Now, does the fellowship offer these artists? I mean, I know a lot of the artists are in and out of town because they come from somewhere else and they have contacts other places. But does the fellowship provide them a really opportunity to sort of leave a lot of that behind for at least a few months at a time to really concentrate on making work?
Absolutely. That's our goal of the program. We want to be able to provide the time and the space for the artists, literary and visual, to create. Of course, we encourage artists to continue their travel. Maybe it's a workshop or they have an exhibition in another part of the country. But we really want them to come to the Tulsa Artist Fellowship and use the time and the space to create work and also work on making connections that they may not have had the opportunity to do so, being from other areas of the country.
Are you seeing collaborations between some of the fellowship artists?
Absolutely. Not only between the artists, but we're seeing collaborations with the community as a whole. We have a strong local arts community, amazing, very talented artists from Tulsa, and we have seen a lot of partnerships in opening up the doors. This upcoming Friday is First Friday, and Gary Cacciadorian, for example, will open up his ground floor studio that's located in the back alley in the Tulsa Arts District, and he'll open that studio up, and he does collaborations with local artists. So it's just a really great way to see him not only utilize the time in the space, but then take the gift that he's been offered and share it with the local community. So there's a handful of local artists that will participate in the show, as well as a handful of the other fellows.
You know, it seems like that was probably one of the aims of the fellowship, was this idea that these artists coming in or from other parts of the state, because there is a regional focus mm-hmm. of it as well, would sort of create this incubator that gets the local, you know, it's creative for local artists, it's creative for the artist fellowship members. And do you think that's working out to the point where you envisioned at the beginning, or is it still going to take time?
I think we've seen that success in just 2 short years. I think one perfect example of having the show being at the downtown Philbrook is that you have the opportunity to hop across the street and enter our studio space and see that behind the scenes of where the artists are creating. And that's a huge part of what our program is, not only, you know, time and space to create. So having that opportunity to connect, here's the end product that you'll see in the exhibition and the new Now show, but then how did the artwork get there? So seeing that process has been a huge help. And then also seeing the opportunities that have grown outside of just the Philbrook Museum. We have teaching positions at the University of Tulsa, OSU. We have showcasings throughout the state. Regionally, we have some workshops that are happening in Arkansas. So it's been really great to see how our program has welcomed artists from across the country and has allowed them to build partnerships in an organic way.
My guests today are Julia White, the program manager for the Tulsa Artist Fellowship, and Scott Stulen, the director of Philbrook Museum. Philbrook Downtown is presenting New Now, works by the Tulsa Artist Fellowship. It's on display through March 4th. And during that time, you have free admission, thanks to the George Kaiser Family Foundation, which sponsors the Tulsa Artist Fellowship, and wants Tulsans to see this work, I guess.
Absolutely. So I hope people come down and see it. And while you're at it, you can pop upstairs and see some of the work that we have always on display downtown of Philbrook, too.
Yeah. One of the artists that you're going to have a further collaboration with, as we talk more about the work, is Rachel Hayes, which has a beautiful fiber piece just on the front wall as you enter the gallery where the exhibition is. And you've already talked about commissioning a new rotunda art piece.
Yeah, we're going to be working with Rachel Hayes extensively over the coming month. Actually, it's coming up quite quick. But she's a great example of coming into the community and some of the collaborations we've talked about. So actually tomorrow at 108 Contemporary, she'll be opening a show there. So she'll have some of her pieces there that are displayed, these large textile pieces. They'll be hanging from the ceiling, kind of partitioning up the space. And they're beautiful. I like to describe them as kind of like floating stained glass. And then her piece that's in the New Now show, it looks almost like a rag rug. It's kind of woven, and then it kind of like unfolds to be this almost like tulle-like rainbow across the wall. But then in the first week of February, she'll be installing a new piece in the Rotunda at Philbrook, a new commission. They'll go from the oculus, the rotunda, all the way through the loggia and into the restaurant. So it'll be a full piece floating through that whole space, and then the light will come in and it'll kind of basically cast down onto the floor. The one other fun thing, during her installation that week, we're inviting people to come in and actually watch it go up. So you can actually see the work being made and her installing it. So we're very excited about working with her on that piece.
Yeah. How does that process unfold?
So we kind of had talked to Rachel initially, and Sienna Brown, our contemporary curator, was working with her. And knowing that she'd started working these kind of large-scale installations, and we started doing this series of contemporary artists in the Philbrook Rotunda, she seemed like a nice fit. We brought her in. She looked at the space and like, oh, yeah, I definitely want to do this. And then wanted to make something custom for the space. So it's going to be a bit more circular than some of her other pieces that are a little bit more square and rectangular patterns, but it's really customized for that rotunda and the light coming into the space there at Philbrook. But she'll be sewing a bunch of the panels actually at the museum because they're so large. Mm-hmm. It's difficult in her studio, so you'll be able to see that.
Now, when you're using light effects, really, you don't know what you're going to get until you actually have it up on the wall. I mean, how do you predict how the light is going to react with a piece like this?
So her process is she gets a lot of the panels made in place. She gets some anchor points for them. And then a lot of it is actually experimenting. So moving things around, seeing how the light comes in, changing it, adjusting it, working with our crew and multiple lifts in the space to be able to do that. But it's kind of making some you know, some calculated guesses on it, but a lot of that work is in the space and actually reacting to it in real time.
You know, the Rotunda for many years was just thought as a centerpiece for Rodin's Adam.
Yes,
for so long. You really have transformed that place. And here you're using an artist in our community to make a kind of an interesting artistic statement.
It's been a great opportunity. And I think, you know, when the Rodin had to unfortunately go away, it when I came in, it was really looking at this being a space that we really could utilize. And this has been wonderful to be able to take one of the artists in the fellowship program. And Rachel's husband, Eric's also a painter in the program. So they're both here in the program. And I think they're a great success story because they actually bought a house here and have kind of like made Tulsa be their home while they're in the program. So anyway, but it's been something with that rotunda space that we've been able to kind of create a further, deeper partnership.
Now, if I can get back to the fellowship for just a moment, that's an example of one of the outcomes you're hoping for the artist fellowship. You know that most of these artists are going to be here for their fellowship, and they're going to move back to their home communities. But it's also hope, at least, and it's, I don't think there's any pressure put on them to go ahead and make this their home, but if they decide they fall in love with the community and want to make their art here, all the better, right?
Absolutely. Eric and Rachel are a fantastic success story. Their children are very much involved in the program as well. They are in a local school. We've had a baby born in the program. We also have a mother and a son in the program, not only a husband and wife. We just had an engagement within the program. One of our fellows met and fell in love with a local Tulsan teacher. And so it's just been a really great experience watching how the program's been and just 2.5 years built from the ground up, and then the relationships that allow the artists to want to stay in Tulsa. You know, it's a very easy place to make connections, whether it's having an exhibition or a program within a museum. But then settling in your roots and having the opportunity to teach, that's also been a great partnership. So we feel as if our staff works very hard at making sure that we can connect the fellows that best fits the needs of the artists at that time and their goals so that we can make the connections and introductions into the community. And I think it's just one part of the program that allows it to be a success story.
If I may follow up, the history of Philbrook and Gilcrease, the major art institutions, has not always been, how should I put it, hospitable to the local art scene. It hasn't been that place where it's like, we want to showcase the art in our community. I think Mr. Gilcrease at one point did, and the Philbrook in its early years did.
Right.
But I think as the institutions matured, they went for, if it's outside of our area, we want to bring it in. Is this a focus on local art that's going to continue at Philbrook, do you think?
Absolutely.
At least under your...
Yes, absolutely.
So, can you maybe talk about that?
I can. So it's... You know, I think that historically has been the case, not just at Philbrook and Gilcrease, but a lot of museums.
Museums everywhere.
Yeah. And it's this kind of idea that, you know, our job as the leading institutions is to look beyond the local and the regional and bring in these outside things. And there's a whole layer of elitism that's part of that, too. We want to dismantle all of that and really make it be a place where we're welcoming to local artists, to regional artists, that we're showing their work, but we're also a place that people are coming to learn, be inspired, be able to utilize all of our facilities to be able to help to make their work. And, you know, I'm come as an artist myself. A lot of my background has been supporting local artist communities, and I feel really passionately about making sure that Philbrook is doing that and doing it in a genuine sense, not in some token sense, but a way that we really are truly showcasing what is happening here in Tulsa. And we want those artists too, like in the fellowship program, to become ambassadors, and they go back to wherever they were from originally or to their next program, that they're talking positively and excited about what's happening here, and that we become a hub. Mm-hmm. And I really want Philbrook to be a place that we are supporting the creation of new work. We're being a platform for different conversations, sometimes tough ones, and that people really look at us as being that type of engaged partner in the community.
Yeah. While this show is mainly featuring the visual artists, throughout the run of the show, you'll be actually focusing on the literary artists on Friday nights. Tell us a little bit about this.
Every Friday in February, there will be programming that we lined up with the Philbrook. Our second Friday is House Party at Philbrook. It's an opportunity for the visual and literary to come in and play part. We are very excited about the partnership with Magic City and Philbrook that is happening on Friday, February 16th. It is a sold-out show, but our literary artists, Jennifer Hope Davey, Dan Musgrave, and Lori Thomas will be opening up for George Saunders before George is coming in town through Magic City, so we'll have a great opportunity.
Author of Lincoln and the Bardo, which is an amazing book. So, and that's a big event.
It's sold out. We're really excited. We conduct quarterly writer salons as an opportunity for the literary artists to have an opportunity to share their work with the community. And so this just happens to fall in line with our already programmed writer salon, and the opportunity to open up for George Saunders was a huge hit. We're very lucky to have that.
Now, you see how the visual artists are working throughout the community in collaborations. Are the literary artists doing the same sort of thing?
Absolutely. I've mentioned the opportunity of teaching positions, adjunct mm-hmm. positions at TU and OSU, but there's also has been workshops and readings. In February, we have the George Saunders book, and then we also will be hosting a small two-day workshop with some creative nonfiction writers that are joining our program, and our writer Simon Hahn and his colleagues from Nashville that will be coming in to do workshops for the community and then also doing public readings. We work very closely with Magic City and BookSmart in the sense that we have this amazing literary institution already built into the community. Well, how can we plug in our literary artists? We've worked with school districts. We allow to have collaborations between schools, our quarterly readings. Melanie Gilman and Aragon Starr, both our graphic novelists, will be working with Oklahoma Contemporary in April for a comic pop-up exhibition that was happening. We do poetry readings with Mused and with Magic City once again. We have a relationship with Poetic Justice, where the literary artists have been working on the back end, helping to edit the chapbooks with Poetic Justice. So, you know, that's all part of what our team is working hard to do, is continue to make those connections and provide the opportunity to utilize the literary artists as best as the community sees fit.
Yeah. Well, of course, writing is a solitary profession, and so it's good to see that they are at least out in the community as well as spending time working on their craft. Meanwhile, through March 4th, you can see the work of the Tulsa Artist Fellowship in New Now at Philbrook downtown. A lot of interesting art. There's everything from a collapsed tent hanging from the roof to a video to cartoon, a sort of graphic art, to painting and sculpture. Really, really a wide range of material on display. Scott and Julia, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Julia White is the program manager for the Tulsa Artists Fellowship, and Scott Stulen, director of Philbrook Museum, speaking with me last week. Philbrook Downtown presents New Now, works by the Tulsa Artists Fellowship, on display through March 4th, with free admission to Philbrook Downtown during the course of the exhibition. More details at philbrook.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.